Sunday means football. This is Sports Fan Football Sunday. We preview this week's matchups, recap and highlights from all the big college games, plus helping you set your fantasy lineup. It's Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Welcome inside the Sports Fan Studios. Week 10 action around the NFL. I am Air Jordan Gothy. Alongside me this week and all season long, Jake Reisinger and Matt Heflin helping you get your fantasy football lineup set, breaking down the Bears game, previewing the Bears game coming up on Monday night against the Vikings. You can catch that game right here on Sports Fan Radio 1330 with Jeff Joniak on the call. Pregame coverage starts roughly about a half hour before the game. Again, all right here on Sports Fan 1330. Guys, week 9 is in the books. We are now in double digits. Thursday night, Colts and Titans squared off. That was a good one. I guess we can start right there. Colts defeat the Titans in a big AFC South battle, 34-17. Nyheim Hines was the birthday boy. Two touchdowns, taking both Jonathan Taylor and Jordan Wilkins' workload. It was a good game overall. Titans were up early, but the Colts came storming back and just took over that second half. And they're right now the team to beat in the AFC South division.
Yeah, I have a lot to question for Mike Vrabel's standpoint when you sign a punter that was a FedEx driver maybe a couple weeks ago instead of Ryan Allen that you just watched dominate for the last few games.
Is that true?
Yes. It just doesn't make sense when you come out there with a 17-yard punt and a blocked punt for a touchdown. And it just doesn't make sense how they're acting like special teams isn't a thing that game.
Which is really weird because if Mike Vrabel is he's a good coach. And in order to have good coaches, they have a well-rounded team. Like the Patriots stress so much their special teams. That's why Matthew Slater still stayed around the league for so long. They got great punters and kickers usually every year. This year's questionable with kicker in New England. But it's very interesting because Ryan Allen, to me, I've considered him one of the best punters in the league because I remember a couple years ago in the AFC Championship game versus the Jaguars, I think, in my opinion, that he single-handedly won that game for New England because he kept pinning the Jaguars inside their five-yard line, and they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, just like with who was the punter for the Rams this year?
Johnny Hecker.
Johnny Hecker, thank you.
Yeah, Johnny Hecker destroyed the Bears with his punting us on the five-yard line every game. I mean, people that don't understand that football is a three-team game,
sure,
it really makes a big difference, but then you go out there and watch the end of what I assume is Gostkowski's career.
You think it's over?
It's 8 missed field goals, and they keep trotting him out there. Honestly, you could pick up anybody else better than him this year. It's really a shame.
Again, that's a point where New England has Nick Folk kicking field goals for him. He stayed around the league for so long, but there's a reason why they let Ghost go. There's a reason for it, and we're seeing it now in Tennessee. And it's just that the kicking woes haven't continued for him this year so far in 2020. And you're right. Maybe it looks like his career might be coming to an end.
While on the other end of the ball with the Indianapolis Colts and their running backs, Frank Reich did prove true to his word. He said that he was going to use all the backs, and all the backs got touches, and it seems like it's going to be whoever's the hot hand during the game on who gets the most touches during the game.
Yeah, and do you know who got the least amount of touches?
That would be the rookie,
Jonathan Taylor.
Second-round pick out of Wisconsin, Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, not looking too well for him right now. There's hope for the future. A lot of people are saying that the holes are closing faster than it did at Wisconsin, which is true. The NFL's faster than the college football. We're going to have to see going forward. There's a lot of missed holes that he's had, and sometimes it reminds me of Trent Richardson.
Really?
Yeah.
And looking into it, too, it's almost like he has to control the pace that he gets his get-off. Like, we always talk about Le'Veon Bell being a patient running back and waiting for stuff to happen. Taylor is so used to hitting those holes just dead on when he just needs to take maybe half a step less and evaluate where everything's going with the line, because there were multiple times where he could have bounced out left, specifically to the left, and he would have at least gotten a first down out of it, but no, he gets stuffed for 1 yard and no yard gains.
So you think it's a vision problem right now?
Vision problem and an experience problem. Next year, if he comes out and is better, then I think he's going in the right way. Same with like Marlon Mack. First couple of years, he struggled with his vision. Same thing. came out last year, had a good year, and he was starting this year really good too. So I think it's just a vision thing. I think maybe if you give him a little bit of time, he can work through it. But if he doesn't, if he gets traded for a first round or a second round, then we know it's the end of his career.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's going to happen, because it's really weird, because the Colts are such a really good, since Ballard has taken over that general manager position, they have drafted very well in recent years. So it's kind of odd to see one of their picks not really working out so well so far. But I think we're all in the same boat where we're not selling off Jonathan Taylor yet. We're still keeping him on our fantasy teams right now. But let me ask you this real quick. We're going to get into fantasy hour here next segment. But if you had to pick out of that Colts backfield, which running back would you rather own for the rest of the season?
Naeem Hines.
Really?
Okay. Honestly, he's getting the pass reps that Jonathan Taylor couldn't do, and he's getting the rushing reps that Jonathan Taylor had but isn't doing what he needs to do with it.
And that's key, because we knew out of that backfield, Naeem Hines was the pass-catching back. That's what he is. He's a scat back.
Yeah.
But now he's getting the rushing attempts over both Jordan Wilkins and Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
Even at the goal line, that's the key part. At the goal line, he's getting the carries.
That was shocking.
And to me, that's what makes the difference. So Naeem Hines, to me, is the guy you want to own going forward. But again, I'm not selling my shares of Jonathan Taylor just yet. What about you, Matt?
I'm not mad.
Oh, go ahead.
But honestly, I might sell my shares for Jonathan Taylor in a dynasty league, because if you have enough pieces and you're trying to win this year, you know, you could sell them to a team that needs to rebuild or looking in the future.
Or a believer.
Yeah, or a believer. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be a good time if you're in a dynasty league, but I don't know about a redraft league right now, though.
He would be a weekly flex option. Like, you would want to look at the matchups and how teams specifically plan towards more power running backs.
I gotcha. Sticking with that same running back group here, we got a big matchup here, at least for the local area around here. Jaguars and Packers meeting up over at Lambeau Field. And I know both teams are going in the wrong direction. Jaguars are 1-7 on the season. Packers are 6-2. But it's the Dean Lowry versus James Robinson matchup, the former Lutheran running back and the former Boylan standout at the defensive line. It's going to be a great game for local flavor up in Lambeau Field. James Robinson right now is on pace for over 1,600 total yards from scrimmage, which will be an record among all undrafted players in NFL history. He's on pace for that. Not saying he's going to get to it, but he's on pace for over 1,600 total yards from scrimmage right now. One of the best running backs, not only in fantasy, but really so far in the NFL. He's sixth right now in rushing.
Yeah, I'll have to agree, and especially since we watched the Packers' defense abysmal tackling. So I think James Robinson's in for a big game this week.
I mean, he's getting the workload to get that number you wanted, 1,600 scrimmage yards. James Robinson and DJ Chark, that's the Jaguars' offense right there. Right. They're going to keep feeding the rookie, because obviously they don't expect to win, so they don't want to get any potential future franchise quarterback hurt,
right,
whether it be Minshew, who is already hurt, or say they believe in Luton.
Yeah, Bougie Scoot and Jake Luton is what I like to call him.
Interesting nickname.
I will have to say, though, I think Dean Lowry needs to pick up his play a little bit after his big extension. He does only have 15 tackles on the year and one sack. A little disappointing for that defense. But if he's looking for a big game, this is a beat-up, worse Jaguar team. I think he could have a big game against the Jags.
Yeah, and so far the Packers this year are dead last against the run this year. They're terrible. They're bottom of the league, and Dean Lowry, unfortunately, is a big part of that. He's supposed to him, and they're supposed to have a big part on that D-line, and it's just not working out so far this year. They have struggled. That is for sure. Guys, real quick, going back to week 9, we got to talk some Bears football, and boy, is there so many headlines to get to with the Bears. Titans defeat the Bears by a final score of 24-17 last Sunday. Bears were held to 3 points through 55 minutes of play. So if you didn't watch the game and you're thinking, well, the Bears only lost by a touchdown, it's a pretty close game. No, that was not the case. They got their butts kicked for 55 minutes. So they scored 2 touchdowns in the final 5 minutes of the game. But the final score on paper, 24-17 in favor of the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad game. It's been a while since I've turned off a game at halftime.
Is that when you said goodbye? It's
yes,
over?
Yeah. 100%.
I don't blame you. I really don't.
It was just an absolutely boring game to begin with, too. Like, there wasn't really any scoring. There was barely any offense. It was just the punter show for the longest time outside of maybe 2 plays from A.J. Brown.
When your special teams gets more first downs than your offense does, it's just shame.
For a long time, Barkamius Mingo was leading our team in rushing.
Only rushing, but didn't he have the biggest carry of the day with 11 yards?
Yes.
Yeah, because I think Montgomery finished with 40. Somehow he salvaged a 40-yard game, but still. Mingo is your longest run of the day, and he's a pass rusher? Not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
Now, again, we can always say that the play calling was abysmal. Yes, it was. But our offensive line is literally made of three tissues and a couple garbage bags. So there's not really much I can blame for Nick not being able to sit in the pocket for more than a 0.5 seconds. So I can't give him all the problem in the world. But again, it comes to pace, not having the depth that we need, and Nagy not understanding the personnel that we need to go out there with.
I mean, at least looking on the bright side, you know, we just re-signed Eric Cush. He's on the practice squad right now, a familiar face. Hopefully that brings some semblance of stability back to our line.
Is that where we're at right now? Are we really hoping and excited for Eric Cush?
I always liked Eric Cush.
That's the point where we're at, though.
He's a good run blocker.
No disrespect to Eric Cush. It's just that's the point. That's how desperate we are as Bears fans with the Bears offensive line situation.
I'll take
right
him
now.
Over Alex Look. Bars and Rashad Coward.
Oh, yeah. Alex Bars, quote unquote, from Juan Castillo, said he was phenomenal at center and had a great game, and we could possibly see him more of that.
Hey.
So before the Alex Bars slander starts, he at least had a good game.
that's positivity looking for. That is good to hear.
But they had a horrible defensive line, too.
One last note from the Bears-Titans game. The Bears' streak of no touchdowns in the third quarter so far this season still stands. 0 points in the third quarter, no touchdowns there.
I turned the game off during the third quarter anyway.
But the good news
that's
is,
snack time.
If there's one positive thing, guys, Matt Nagy has officially passed the torch. He has now officially given up play calling duties. Now, the offensive coordinator Bill Lazor will now be calling plays for the Chicago Bears starting Monday night against the Vikings. Bill Lazor has called plays in his history, both stops in Cincinnati and Miami. Now, in 2018, which is last stop, Cincinnati finished 17th in total offense. Jake, you looked that up before the show. Not bad. It's definitely an improvement from where the Bears are sitting right now in 27th in total yards. Now, Bill Lazor also in his 2 years in Miami calling plays, the team finished 11th and 27th in total yardage back in 2014 and 2015. Now, the game has changed since then, but still, not terrible. So, if there is one positive thing, is that the Bears could possibly slightly improve going forward.
Yeah, especially since Nick Foles had his best career when Bill Lazor was his offensive quarterback coach. So, I mean, there is hope there. That is, it's a good, strong thing that Nick Foles might come out and have a decent game. But right now, it's kind of iffy on who's our running back. Because if they got to trot out Cordero, I'm not going to see any offense.
Hopefully, we bring Lamar Miller up. Because when Bill Lazor was with the Dolphins, that was his running back.
Yeah.
Lamar Miller.
And he had his best years, too, when Bill Lazor was down there, correct?
So if Montgomery can't go, I'd hope Lamar Miller will be ready to be brought up.
I got you. Jake, you're referring to the year when Nick Foles went 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions back in 2013 in Philadelphia. That's when Bill Lazor was his quarterback coach. So he's familiar with Nick Foles. He's familiar with this offensive system. Hopefully it's good things to show here going forward for the Bears. Another quick note, we got to go to defense real quick. I want to talk about a guy who had a big signing this year for the Bears. Pass rusher Robert Quinn signed a 5-year, $70 million extension. I know, Jake, you're looking the other way here. So far this season in eight games.
Stop. Listen, I already got into this argument with other people, but yeah, it looks like a bad signing right now. But again, if you're not up, you can't pass rush.
Right.
And he's a pass rush specialist, and you pay him to pass the rush the passer.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're down, we have to, you know, people are going to run on us. We have a bad rush defense. So I understand where people are getting upset about the signing and see that the production is not there. But when we've been up and he's been in, he's caused fumbles. He's had decent amount of plays where he's done stuff in.
Right.
So I would say pump the brakes on it a little bit, maybe hold out until we can get a lead.
Right.
But it's not as bad. I mean, the Jimmy Graham signing looks phenomenal.
Right. So far, and going back to what with Robert Quinn so far, 6 solo tackles this year, 2 quarterback hits, 1 sack in 8 games, both his sack and fumbles back in week 2. So he's kind of disappeared recently, but we need him to show back. But one thing I will say about about Robert Quinn is the fact that maybe it's just me, but I feel like he takes the longest path to get to the quarterback. I mean, he goes at least 5 yards from the quarterback on his, like, behind him, it seems like.
He's always done that.
Yeah, it's really when weird because not a lot of pass rushers do that.
When he was with the Rams, originally he was in the 4-3, so he was 2 hands in the dirt rushing the pass rusher. All he was is speed. So he's a speed rusher, and all he does is try to get around him. And obviously,
takes a long trip around.
Long trip. And when he can't do that because he's getting older or they're running the ball, it kind of is very obvious where he's like, 6 yards back in the field, and the running back's always up there.
It's just kind of odd. Yeah, it's just kind of odd.
Very odd, but it has an explanation for it.
And, you know, it makes sense to you about us not being up, so Robert Quinn can't get the pass rush snaps he need, because his lone sack against the Giants, that's when the Bears did have a phenomenal fourth quarter and did get up a lot early. And then back at Dallas, back when he had a revitalized year, it's the Cowboys offense. Obviously, they know how to put up a lot of points, so it put him in a good situation.
Yeah. Real quick, guys, before we wrap up our segment here, let's talk Bears and Vikings Monday night preview. The Vikings are coming into this game winning 2 straight. The Bears have lost 3 straight. Both teams are going in the opposite directions right now. But this is just where the Bears are ranked right now. Minnesota is a 3-point favorite on the road on Monday night with their quarterback Kirk Cousins, who has a career record in 9 games on Monday Night Football, 0-9. He has been terrible on Monday Night Football, and yet the Vikings are still a 3-point favorite, and they're an under 500 team. That's just where the Bears are at right now.
Yeah, and I don't think the Vikings have beaten the Bears with Nagy as the head coach.
No, they're 0-4, exactly.
Or even just Kirk at quarterback.
Yeah, 0-4 so far. So
again, I understand where people are saying we've lost 3 straight and possibly we could lose 4. But, I mean, Dalvin Cook is a beast, and he has been tearing up the league.
Oh, you're telling me. 40 back-to-back 40-plus point performances in fantasy. Rushed for over 200 yards
absolute
last week. Six touchdowns in his last two games. Dalvin Cook is on an absolute tear. And speaking of Dalvin Cook, I'm glad you brought him up. This credit goes to Larry Meyer on Twitter real quick. He wrote, in 36 career games, running back Dalvin Cook has been held under 40 yards 9 times. Okay? Now, in his 3 games against the Bears, all 3 times, he was held under 40 yards. That's a good note for the Bears. They know how to keep Dalvin Cook in
check.
That's
a good note.
Hopefully, we can still do that without Eddie.
Now I have to say, those games have taken place prior. Dalvin Cook has not rushed for 200 yards in back-to-back games leading up till this Monday night game. Now that's something where he's riding a hot hand right now. Offense is really starting to flow right now for Minnesota. So, again, we'll see what happens when you have the hottest running back, arguably the hottest player right now in the league, coming at you. So we'll see what happens on Monday night. Guys, we're going to take a quick timeout. We're going to get into Fantasy Hour, quarterbacks, running backs, tight ends, receivers, all that good stuff coming up next. You're listening to Football Sunday for Jordan, Matt, Jake, Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Stayed up a little too late last night and forgot to set that lineup? We've got you covered. It's Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Welcome back, Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio 1330. Air Jordan Gothy alongside me, Jake Reisinger and Matt Heflin, helping to get your fantasy football lineup set, getting ready for Week 10 action as fantasy playoffs are rapidly approaching. In normal leagues, you got about 3 or 4 weeks, so now is the time to make the run and make your playoff run right now. And we're going to help you get you set with some pretty big teams on bye weeks this week. You got Chiefs, Falcons, a lot of offensive players that you will not be able to use this week. But we're going to start it off here with quarterbacks and tight ends. The injury report, we got one name for quarterbacks, and that is Big Ben Roethlisberger dealing with COVID right now. Kind of the same situation last week with the Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford, who had to keep taking tests over and over and over again. Had to get a couple negatives in a row, and then he was cleared to play last Sunday against Minnesota. So that is the only quarterback list right now. And Matt, you're going to start us off with our Week 10 player highlights. We're going to go quarterbacks. Who is your quarterback pick of the week?
All right. So Drew Brees. For a while, we were balancing on that line of, is he washed up? Can he still do this? But looking last week of how he absolutely torched Tampa Bay's defense, Brees is fine. There were a bunch of people that dropped him a couple weeks ago to a point where he was only owned in 68% of leagues. Mm-hmm. Drew Brees, the Drew Brees. Now he's going up against the 49ers defense. They are surprisingly ranked 2nd against the rush. So maybe this would be a game that, you know, maybe they'll try and get Michael Thomas into the swing of things and throw more to Emmanuel Sanders. So wouldn't expect too much from Kamara, but Breeze, I'm expecting a huge game out of him.
Yeah, and Michael Thomas returned to action last week, and Sean Payton said going into last week's matchup that he was on a snap count limit. They wanted to do it the right way by trying to get him more involved in the offense as the weeks progress, because they don't want to have him have another re-aggravation on his injury and then have to go back on the injury reserve. So now we're looking for a bigger game out of Michael Thomas now, and the 49ers, they've been torched in recent weeks. I mean, you talk about against Seattle a couple weeks ago, and then you went to the last Thursday against the Packers. Aaron Rodgers threw 4 touchdown passes. I mean, they've been getting torched recently in that secondary, so I like that Drew Brees' matchup absolutely. Jake, You're looking at that Dolphins matchup for your quarterback pick of the week this week.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tua Tagovailoa. Coming off his best game so far of the year. I mean, only two starts, but he had 24 points. Chargers
The duel in the desert last week.
Yeah, it was a really good game if you were watching. Chargers are giving up the fifth most points to quarterbacks, which is pretty bad. They will be it without Joey Bosa this week.
That's key.
Huge.
It's going to give Tua more time in the pocket. And again, Derwin James is still out in that secondary. I mean, they're losing pieces left and right on that defense.
No Desmond King.
No Melvin Ingram.
No Melvin Ingram. And then I think they're missing, isn't Chris Harris out? Or another one of their corners is out too. So they're hurt right now in that secondary.
They're pretty banged up. So I think Tua can come out and have a good game. The only stat I would say is there's only two teams in the NFL that have only been close to games where it's like 7 points.
Mm-hmm. One possession games?
Yeah. Steelers and the Chargers.
Wow.
So it could be a big game for Tua. I would at least see a shootout between Tua and Herbert.
It's going to go down to the wire. I think we can put money on that game. It's going to be very interesting. I really like that Tua matchup just because of all the injuries that we just listed on that Chargers defense for sure. Now, my quarterback pick, it's an easy one, okay? I'm going Jared Goff, going up against Seattle, division rival, ranked 32nd against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy so far this season. But here's the key note. In Jared Goff's last four games versus Seattle, he's averaging 331 yards per game. He's also 3-1 in that span. Sean McVay has had Seattle's numbers in the last 2 years. Now, the Rams are coming off a bye week. Sean McVay is a very well-organized, well-coached coach, and the Rams are a well-coached team right now. Now, I think with that extra preparation, he knows. He's faced Seattle many times. He knows what Seattle likes to do. Now, Seattle's coming back to the West Coast after an East Coast battle against Buffalo last week where Josh Allen lit them up. Over 400 passing yards, 4 total touchdowns in that game. Absolutely destroyed that secondary. Russell Wilson had a very, very bad game. Now, coming back to the West Coast, we'll see if the Seahawks can rebound. I think Seattle might be on a losing streak here. I think the Rams, another week off. I think it's going to be good for them to get the matchups in. Hopefully Jared Goff coming off a bye week. I like the matchup.
Yeah, I like the matchup too. You can see how Seattle got exposed last week because they kept running man coverage against Josh Allen, and mm-hmm. Josh Allen has torched man coverage this year. And they're probably going to do the same thing going up against Jared Goff. But the problem is against the Rams is they have so many motions. And their defensive coordinator for Seattle just doesn't understand and game plan. Pete Carroll is way too loyal to his team, and honestly, the defensive coordinator should have been gone a while ago because they're using the best run-stopping safety as their nickel corner.
Yeah,
and he has been torched.
Not good.
They didn't trade those picks away for him to play corner. They traded for him to blitz and be in the box, but if they're going to keep using him like that, they're going to keep getting torched.
Yeah, and you could see there's a lot of frustration. Not only has it been a terrible year for Seattle, their defensive coordinator, I don't know how he has a job at this point, but I mean, Jamal Adams and Pete Carroll, maybe it was DC, he got involved some altercation with the coach on the sideline. I mean, things got heated last week in Buffalo.
I think it was Pete Carroll.
Was it Pete Carroll? Yeah, so Jamal Adams, we know he's a feisty guy. And when he already knows he's not being utilized correctly, the defense is just going to suffer even more. And we saw that last week when Buffalo is a better team now, but they just ran or they passed the ball all over Seattle.
It's honestly just better coaching, just how they set up the game. I mean, it's a big flight from East Coast to West Coast, absolutely, too, so that should actually put into effect as well.
Yeah, Matt, what about you? You're going to Monday Night Football for your second quarterback of the week.
Yeah, and I may get some eye rolls at this, but Nick Foles, I could see him having a big game in this key division matchup versus Minnesota. Last week, he threw for his first 300-yard game of the season, regardless if that was in garbage time or not. Mm-hmm. Fantasy points don't care if it's legit or garbage time.
That's a good point.
And going up against the Vikings, their defense is bad. They have no pass rush. And the new play caller coming in, Bill Lazor. Mm-hmm. Signs are pointing for Nick Foles to be productive this game, at least from a fantasy standpoint.
I think it might be a fresh start for the Bears offense with a new play caller. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to light the world on fire. I'm not saying the Bears offense is magically going to be top 5, top 10. I'm not saying that. I just think it's going to be a nice little fresh look at things.
As long as I don't have to see a freaking 2-yard sweep with Cordarrelle Patterson.
Keep Cordarrelle out of the backfield.
Now,
please.
Normally, if Montgomery's healthy, we probably wouldn't see that. But with Montgomery banged up, you might actually see that on Monday night because there might not be another player. Maybe Ryan Nall get a few runs there. But we'll see what Nick Foles can do because the Vikings defense, they've actually been on a roll lately. He picked off Matthew Stafford 3 times last week, and he had a concussion, so he left the game. But Vikings defense has stepped up recently. But hopefully now with a new play caller, the Bears can shake things up on offense because they're on a 3-game losing streak. They have to shake things up this week. This is a must win for them against Minnesota.
Also, before we go, Hand, I will say I think this is a big game, and I do think at least one sack from Robert Quinn.
For the Bears?
Yep.
Yeah.
There's hope, and I hope so.
They have Drew Samai at right guard, and he has been the worst offensive right guard by far. I know it doesn't have to do with fantasy. Just well, adding it, a little it does Bears
for,
talk.
For Bears defense and special teams, that there is important.
Absolutely, especially if you're starting Kirk Cousins for whatever reason. He might be under duress most of that game.
Yes.
Now, Jake, what about your second quarterback of the week?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Carson Wentz. So I know it's a little trivia. He hasn't been the greatest this year. He is playing the Giants. The last time he did play, he had 27 points against them. That's pretty good.
Slow start, but rapid. Got things Carson. Going in the second half.
It's Carson.
Yeah.
He's trying to play hero ball, but now most of his team is going to be healthy. Miles Sanders practice, Jason Peters,
sure.
Lane Johnson might be there for the game. So honestly, I think this might be one of those games where, you know, Carson comes out here, has a phenomenal MVP type game, and then everybody's just sitting there like, huh, maybe that's why we took him there.
Yeah, and you told me before the show that with Carson Wentz is that he has to stop trying to play hero ball.
Yeah.
And I think that's his big problem so far this year is that he keeps trying to play hero ball. He keeps trying to put the game on the line because of him, but at the same time, for most of the season, the Eagles haven't had much offensive weapons.
Yeah, and it reminds me of a couple years ago, Derek Carr. He was trying to do the hero ball after his broken leg. He was trying to do too much just to get back into that rhythm of his MVP-type season, and I think that's just how it is. I don't think Carson's bad. I just think he's been trying to do way too much.
Yeah. A quarterback I like this week, you just brought him up. Derek Carr, that's where I'm going. Going up against Denver. Ranked 26 against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy so far this season. Now, Denver, they've given up a total of 61 points to the quarterback position in the last 3 weeks. Now, at home so far this season, Las Vegas and Derek Carr is averaging 20 or more points along with 2 touchdowns in each of those games. Derek Carr is a much better quarterback at home so far this season compared to the road. I know he's been on a little bit of a slow start. He hasn't thrown for over 200 yards in his last 2 weeks, but again, he's played the Browns in that terrible weather game. I mean, there was snow, rain, sleet, anything you can name. It was like a tornado was on the field at one point or another. So it was a terrible weather delay. But so far, Derek Carr has had a nice season. He's averaging 16.9 points per game, just under 17 points. That's fine. That's what you're looking for in a quarterback one. He can help you get you a win.
That's
just for 1 week.
That's respectable fantasy quarterback numbers.
Exactly. And if you're a team that owns a Matt Ryan or, let's say, Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes is a great example. You probably didn't draft a backup quarterback because, hey, I got Mahomes. Derek Carr could be out there on waiver wires, and he's a guy who could fill in nicely just for a one-game matchup. I like that. Now, for tight ends, we got one injury for tight ends, one notable injury right now, and that is TJ Hockenson dealing with the toe injury. And now this is significant because he was added to the injury report late this week. So that's something you want to monitor up until game time to see if he will go against the Washington football team. Matt, you're going to lead us off with our tight end player highlights for your tight end pick of the week.
Yeah, and it's going to be Dallas Goedert. His second week coming back off an injury, it's going to be the full assortment of Philly offensive weapons. This is a game that they need to show Goedert off to show that, hey, he is our new future tight end. You know, we drafted him in the second round. You guys have already seen what he can do, but now let's see what he can truly become because they're going to move on from where it's this offseason. You know, that's the stars are aligning for that. They need to show him off, and this is a game against the Giants that they need to do that against. Big division game.
Right, and now my question to you is, got her return to action against Dallas, that Sunday night game, which was an awful game to watch, but only had one catch in that game. Now, he was on a snap count limit because he was just coming off his injury. Now, he had a bye week to get healthy again, get back on the first team reps because he didn't practice up until that week against Dallas. Are you still at least a little bit concerned with the injury?
There is a little concern, but with all the tight end options that are out this week, you know, you're talking Hayden Hurst, Kelsey, Dalton Schultz for a lot of people, you know, you're wanting to put in the nearest tight end available. And Goddard, after he got hurt, he got dropped in a vast majority of leagues, so he could still be out there on your waiver wire.
Yeah, and he's definitely a guy who does have a good matchup against the Giants, who have given up a lot of points to the tight end position. Jake, what about you for your tight end pick of the week?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Eric Ebron. He's been steadily having a good season right now. Last 3 weeks, he's averaged 11 points, which is for a slim tight end league.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati is 31st against the tight end, and he's been playing 85% of the downs. So I think it's a very good play this week, and I think he'll actually probably have a touchdown.
Yeah, I could definitely see that too because he usually – he's had a couple this year, and he kind of sneaks into the end zone too. And remember, he's probably the fourth target on that list because you got the big three that it's going to be tough to maneuver between Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Chase Claypool. Eric Johnson's probably fourth on that list. But when most of those guys are recovered on the outside, that opens up the field for Eric Ebron to get plenty of opportunities from Ben Roethlisberger if he ends up playing in the game.
Even if Big Ben doesn't play, like if they bring in a younger quarterback, you like Mason to say all Rudolph. The time.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks like going to their tight ends when they're trying to get in the groove of things.
Absolutely. You know, for my tight end pick of the week, I'm going to take Austin Hooper going up against the Houston Texans, ranked 22nd against opposing tight ends in fantasy so far this season. Houston's averaging 14.5 points per game versus the tight end position. Cleveland, in the last three games that Austin Hooper has not played in because he had a surgery to remove his appendix, Cleveland has had 10 targets combined between the two tight ends, David Njoku and the rookie Harrison Bryant in the last 2 weeks. But leading up until his absence, 34 points in his last 3 weeks before his surgery. Austin Hooper has been on a tear recently, and I like the matchup against Houston, who does give up a lot of points to the tight end position when they're not playing the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Kind of feels justified, doesn't it?
What, Austin Hooper?
Yeah, because I was preaching that man all year, and he finally does something, and then, you know, he walks outside and his appendix bursts.
Yeah, so as soon as he gets on the road, think about it, he had 14 points, 10 and 10, and back-to-back-to-back weeks, and all of a sudden...
Then appendicitis.
Right, and you obviously can't plan for that. It happens. He's out 2 weeks, Cleveland gets a bye, so you get 3 weeks to rest up. Now he's back in action. He was in full pads this week, full participant on Friday's practice. He is expected to play this week against the Texans, and they're going to need him. They're going to need another offensive weapon for Baker Mayfield and company. I think there's going to be a lot of points put up. Now, weather might be a concern because they're expecting a lot of wind, about 20, 30 mile an hour winds, possibly 40 wind gusts up to. So another crazy weather day in Cleveland, but I think Austin Hooper is going to be involved in that passing attack. Guys, we're going to take a quick timeout. We're going to come back. We're going to get into the juicy part of Fantasy Hour. Running backs and receivers. Coming up next, Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio 1330.
It's Sports Fan Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Welcome back. Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio 1330. Eric Jordan Gothy alongside me, Jake Reisinger, and Matt Heflin, helping get your fantasy football lineup set for Week 10 action around the NFL. Again, this is a pre-recorded show. And guys, we're going to get right into the juicy part of Fantasy Hour. Running backs and receivers, we just got done breaking down the tight ends and quarterback positions. It's a rough week for tight ends this week, especially if you're a Travis Kelce owner out there. Now, getting into the injury report, running backs and receivers. Let's start with players who were already ruled out for today for running backs. Christian McCaffrey back on the injured list with a shoulder injury. Joe Mixon's listed as doubtful, but we all don't think he's going to play. Still dealing with a foot injury. This will be the fourth straight week he will miss. David Johnson is still in concussion protocol. He has been ruled out for Sunday's action against Cleveland, along with Justin Jackson with a knee injury and Devontae Freeman back on the IR, actually, with an ankle injury. Now, so running backs were listed as questionable so far. Chris Carson, we still don't know if he's going to play or not. He's missed the last three straight games, still dealing with that foot injury. Had a nasty injury a couple weeks ago. Dave Montgomery is still in concussion protocol. We'll see what happens on Monday night. Nick Chubb is still on the injury reserve. I believe he was activated, Jake, on Friday, right?
Yeah.
Coming back from a knee injury. Looks like him and Kareem Hunt will be sharing the Cleveland backfield against Houston on Sunday. Kenyon Drake, I thought, was doubtful for most of the week, but I guess he was upgraded to questionable, still dealing with an ankle injury, so that's something you want to monitor if you're a Chase Edmonds owner out there. And that's all for running backs. So we're going to get into our player highlights. Matt, you're going to lead us off with our running back pick of the week.
Yep, and to start off, I'm going to go Malcolm Brown versus Seattle. So division games, those are the ones that you want to just absolutely take control of, especially for Seattle versus Los Angeles. You know, this is a game that could decide division.
Right.
You want to start that off with the run game. Malcolm Brown, he's your power guy. He's your reliable guy. He's the guy that McVay always gives 40% of the snaps and 10 touches to. This is a game I could very realistically see him be the one that dominates that backfield and touches. It's a game where you just want to tire out Seattle's defense, keep the pressure off Goff. Malcolm Brown, 55 yards and a touchdown. That is a good flex option for you right there, who's not owned in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, and he's the only running back on that roster who's signed to a long-term deal. He just signed an extension last offseason. Detroit tried signing him, and the Rams said, no, we want to keep Malcolm Brown. And you're right, he's the guy who they have a lot of trust in. And another good point is that the only way to keep Seattle's offense off the field, which is very, very good this season, is to run the ball and take time of possession. We saw a great example last week of the Carolina-Kansas City game. The Carolina's first drive of the game, they took 9 minutes and 3 seconds off the clock. 9 minutes and 3 seconds for one drive. That's how you try to beat Kansas City. That's how you try to beat a team like Seattle, is you keep the ball out of Russell Wilson's hands and run the ball, run the ground and pound attack, and Sean McVay likes to use that.
Yeah, even though Seattle's defense is bad, yeah, they don't want it to be a shootout of Wilson versus Goff.
Yeah, and I think Seattle, I don't know if Seattle can win another shootout game because their defense is just that bad. Jake, what about you? You're going back to that Dolphins matchup for your running back pick of the week.
Yeah, I guess I'm going with Matt Breida starting off. The Chargers are allowing 4.9 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. They are 24th against running backs. So Breida does have a favorable matchup. I know he's not been the hottest start, but if you're in a deeper league and you need help like I need help, Matt Breida might be a better pick, flex option for this week just in case that you need to get by.
Right, and you're looking at, again, Atlanta and Kansas City, they're not playing this week. So there's a lot
Dallas
of
Dallas, too, for Zeke owners.
Exactly. Thank you. It's a great example. And you got players like Myles Gaskin, who's on the injury report. I mean,
Jordan Howard being a healthy scratch.
Right, and you got Christian McCaffrey, who's not playing. I mean, you got so many, Joe Mixon, another guy. I mean, there's so many players that are not playing this week, so many top running backs, that Matt Breida is a guy who will probably be started in a ton of leagues.
You're looking for what you can get.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have to start him in, like, two leagues.
And Miami has said that they want him to be the guy. They traded for him in the offseason. They gave up future draft compensation to hopefully mandate that backfield for him. And I know Gaskin passed him on the depth chart, but right now, this is Matt Breida's job to lose as the number one running back in Miami. A guy I like this week, I'm going for a little revenge game here. Duke Johnson Jr. going up against the Cleveland Browns, ranked 13th against opposing running backs in fantasy so far this season. Now, David Johnson left the game early last week in the first quarter with a concussion, did not return. Duke Johnson ended up finishing that game with 20 touches, 4 receptions, and 16 rush attempts. Usually you think it would be the opposite because Duke Johnson has mainly been a pass catcher so far in his career. Now, looking at Houston's depth chart, only CJ Procise is behind him on the depth chart. Now, I'll be honest, I don't think there's a lot of trust in CJ Procise right now. I think Duke Johnson is going to get majority of those shares in that backfield on Sunday. Now, outside of that game against Cleveland or against Las Vegas, the Cleveland Browns so far this season have allowed a running back to score in every game so far this season. Outside of the game against Las Vegas a few weeks ago, which was a mess because of weather and whatnot. Outside of that game, they have allowed a touchdown to the running back position in every single week this season. So Duke Johnson is in store for a big day, I believe. Matt, what about you for your second running back pick of the week?
I'm going to go James White versus New England. Who is James White versus Baltimore?
He's on New England.
So, yeah, I've seen him get dropped a lot in leagues, but for this week, even though Baltimore is ranked third against fantasy running backs, Baltimore also is the second most blitzing team. And when a team blitzes a quarterback, what does the quarterback want to do? He wants to go to his check down guy. That's been James White's shtick for years. Mm-hmm. You know, so in this game that New England, this is do or die right now for New England if they're going to be a winning team or a losing team. So if they want to win, they need to take advantage of what the defense gives them. They're going to blitz a lot, take advantage of that, check down to James White, a lot of PPR points.
I'm kind of surprised so far this year with James White's production. I know he had a couple weeks ago was his father passed, so he wasn't able to play for a week or two. But remember Chris McCaffrey's first big year. Cam Newton was the quarterback. He had a lot of checkdowns on McCaffrey. McCaffrey had a great fantasy year. Now, I thought that James White would be used somewhat in that capacity where a lot of checkdown passes, a lot of PPR points. So far that this season, that has not been the case. Jacoby Myers has had a better year than James White in catching passes. Jacoby Myers had a great week last week against the Jets. And it's going to be very, very interesting how James White is utilizing that offense. And I am a James White owner. I'm hoping for a big week this week. If there was one game, this would be the game against Baltimore.
I don't understand you guys. You guys know they're both tanking for a quarterback.
Do you think it's real? Do you think they're going to tank for Trevor Lawrence?
I mean, why not? I mean, Patriot fans can't be mad. What, are you going to be mad about the 6 Super Bowls you won?
Yeah.
And oh no, we have to get another franchise quarterback.
I don't think their future quarterback of the franchise is on that roster between Cam Newton's on a 1-year deal and Jared Stidham, who might be a nice backup, might stay in the league for a while, but we're not sure if he can lead an NFL team at this point in his career.
Yeah, and neither the Hoyer Destroyer is not out there.
No,
either.
Definitely not. No, not a chance. Jake, do you have a second running back you're looking at?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mike Davis. Now, I know they're playing the Tampa Bay, number one defense in the league. But Mike Davis did have 15 points against them in week 2 with McCaffrey still there. So I think it's a good play. He's going to see similar production he has over the year. Mm-hmm. And again, CMC down, he's the lead back.
Yeah, and maybe it's just the last couple of weeks before Christian McCaffrey returned to the game, it seemed like his Chris McCaffrey's return was going to come eventually. So I don't know if Mike Davis's production really kind of went down up until his return. Now I'm wondering if maybe that just sparked something to where he has another big game this week.
Actually, I have an answer for that. Thank you for bringing that up. We're incorporating Curtis Samuel to start taking more of the load in the backfield so Mike Davis wasn't hurt. And just in case he went down, they would have something else. So that's why Curtis Samuel was out there helping with the load just because Christian McCaffrey was down.
Now, with McCaffrey down again, though, do you think Samuel, because are they going to continue to use him in that role? Or are we going to get to that in a little bit?
Going to get to that in a little bit.
Okay. So my second running back pick of the week, I'm going with that Washington backfield. Now, Jake, I know you went with Denver's backfield last week. Now,
this, hey, they did good.
Right. The reason why I'm picking both players here, J.D. McKissic and the rookie Antonio Gibson, is because we don't know about Gibson's health. Now, apparently he was a full participant in Friday's practice, so it looks like he will play. But the reason why I like J.D. McKissic, here's the big stat. So far, in two games with Alex Smith this season, J.D. McKissic has had 22 targets in two games. 8 and 14 in those two games. Alex Smith loves to use the check down. J.D. McKissic has been on a tear as of late, and Detroit ranked 32nd against opposing running backs in fantasy so far this season. Detroit has allowed 40 or more points to running backs in the last 2 weeks, and 21 3 weeks ago against Atlanta. But 40 or more points in the last 2 weeks. Detroit gives up all the fantasy points you can possibly imagine to the running back position. Just ask Dalvin Cook that last
week.
Don't
lie. You just wanted an excuse to use Antonio Gibson again.
Look, there's no denying I am a big Antonio Gibson guy this year. I drafted him in a ton of leagues. And, yeah, he's been consistent. He left the game early last week with an injury, so I'm not going to hold that against him. But he had a so-so game. He had a touchdown. He had a goal line look. He had a goal line touchdown. But J.D. McKissic is the guy I'm looking at here for check down passes out of backfield with Alex Smith being the starter now in Washington with Kyle Allen got injured last week. So look for J.D. McKissic to have a big game this week. And we're going to move right over to receivers with the injury report. Couple guys who are ruled out for today. Preston Williams dealing with a foot injury. He's placed on the injury reserve. Kenny Galladay is still out with a hip injury. And Deebo Samuel still with a hamstring injury. He is out for today's action. And then three wide receivers. The short list for receivers this week on the injury report. We're going to Chicago. Allen Robinson dealing with a knee injury. He is questionable for Monday's action against Minnesota. Jerry Jeudy with a shoulder injury. I think it was a shoulder contusion. I believe that's what they listed it as. Against Atlanta. Had a great game against Atlanta. So we'll see if he can play against the Las Vegas Raiders. And then the Lizard King, Alan Lazard, is back in the lineup, being activated off injury reserve. Looks like he will be in action against the Jaguars. Now, Matt, your wide receiver pick of the week. Who are you looking at?
Hold on. If anybody out there with Kenny Galladay, I'd start looking to shop. Let's be honest here. He's not, his hip isn't hurt. He's got no contractitis.
You think that's what it is right now?
100%. I mean, if you saw the Instagram picture with that fun party, we all know that he's not hurt.
So you're looking, if you're in a redraft league, you're looking to shop him, but what if you're in a keeper league? Is he worth the keeper right now? He was kept in a few leagues last year. I was one person who did keep him in the league. By the time, he was wide receiver one going into the year.
I think it would all depend on where the redraft standings come in, because if you're seeing him getting picked in the 50s, then no, you don't use him as a keeper spot. It would all just depend on where the big board lies months later.
And going into this year, he was borderline third round.
Round in most leagues.
Yeah, so he was worth a keep this year, but it's going to be very interesting how things end up at the end of the season. All right, Matt, going back to your wide receiver pick of the week.
All right, I'm going to go with Anthony Miller going up against the Vikings. Anthony Miller, he has had his best career games against in-division opponents, Packers, Lions, and Vikings alike. Mm-hmm. Now, with Bill Lazor taking over the play calling and Allen Robinson being questionable, this should be a game that Anthony Miller will get more looks in. This is a game against Minnesota. Their corners are bad. They like to run a lot of man coverage. Anthony Miller, please, dude, take advantage of that. Get open and get a touchdown. I need to see it this week. I've been a believer.
We're at the point where we're pleading with players to be good.
I just want to see Anthony Miller run more than 15 yards down the field. I think that'd be pretty fun.
Without
to
grabbing
see once
his shoulder.
In a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about just get open for a change? How about that? Get open down the field.
Wait, didn't he have a fumble last week?
Yes, he did. But now against an in-division opponent, this is where he shines the most.
This is where he makes his money.
Where he's had his best career games.
I'll keep him just for that.
This is where he makes his money. That's an interesting point, man. All right, Jake, what about you? I think you're going back to that Panthers football team, right?
Yeah, I'm
going to
go with Curtis Samuel like we talked about earlier. Last 2 weeks, he's gotten over 75% of the reps. Now, I know that's not a lot, but he was fourth.
That's a lot.
Yeah, he's fourth on the depth chart for the whole year. This is the only time he's actually passed over 50% of the snaps. So he has been getting a lot of use. He's gotten 6 carries out of the backfield last week and had 6 points from the first outing. So against he's 6 points against the outing against Tampa Bay the first game. Mm-hmm. So again, I think he's going to be, he has a really good matchup this week because he's gotten 21 points the last 2 weeks. He's been going off. So I honestly think Curtis Samuel will have a good game this week.
Keep in mind, Samuel has had a few injuries in his history so far this year. So they're going to keep trying to use him more. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. Who is the number two guy in Carolina? Because we think Robbie Anderson is number one, correct?
Yeah.
Right now,
who's the number two guy in Carolina?
I would hope it's DJ, but it's not trending that way.
I don't think it's DJ anymore. I think that ship has sailed. I'm not labeling him as a bust yet, but like, I don't know what happened from last year to this year.
I can tell you what happened.
I mean, I will say I drafted him in a ton of leagues, and not just because I'm an owner of him in a lot of leagues, but I think he might be one of the biggest fantasy busts that we've seen so far this year.
Kenny Galladay?
He'll be up to, Kenny Galladay has Slant at least been boy. Productive in his games that he has played.
Slant boy.
In his healthy games. But do you believe that Curtis Samuel is the number two guy in Carolina?
Yeah, the recent most production that he's gotten, he looks a lot. They look, him and Teddy look on pace.
They have a connection?
They have a good connection. I don't see that with DJ. It just doesn't seem like they're on the same page. Every time he's either overthrowing it, they're running the wrong routes, or it's a drop. I just don't understand. But with Curtis, he's been getting open in the soft coverage, coming out of the backfield, which is really good for Teddy because he likes doing the checkdowns.
Sure.
So I think, honestly, Curtis Samuel now is going to be the number two going forward.
Now, I wouldn't go as far to say as DJ Moore is a bust because he was taken third, fourth, and sometimes fifth round in leagues this year, and he's currently fantasy's number 20 receiver, which for a third, fourth, or fifth round pick in a fantasy draft, yes, he is the 20th ranked receiver in fantasy this year. Yes.
That's very hard to believe because I don't remember he only had like 2 games this year with double-digit fantasy points? He's struggled this year. But anyways. Yeah,
there are a lot of under 10.
And like I said, I'm not labeling him as a bust as like a draft pick. But this year in fantasy, yes. That's where the bust, like, as terms of fantasy numbers, he's a bust this year.
He's actually had 4 games over double digits.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very hard to believe because he's had a very quiet season.
3 of the games were in a row and they all had 93 yards.
Exactly
93 yards.
So if he doesn't get 93 yards, then he's going to have a terrible game.
He had 120 against Tampa Bay.
There you go.
So, yeah, he's not a bust, but right now it is trending more towards Curtis Samuel just with how the receivers are being used in that offense.
I don't know. Like I said, as a DJ Moore owner, I don't have a ton of confidence playing.
There were a couple redraft leagues where I did ship him out. You know, I feel like it's about the right time to do it.
Gotcha. Receiver I like this week, I'm going Jerry Jeudy. I know he's banged up this week with a shoulder injury. He's going against Las Vegas, ranked 17th against opposing wide receivers in fantasy so far this season. In back-to-back weeks, he's had double-digit targets, 10 and 14 in those 2 games. Had a great game, 25-point performance last week against Atlanta. Jerry Jeudy and Drew Lock are looking like they're starting to find a rhythm together in the fourth quarter. Because apparently 3 quarters, it's just warm-ups. Yeah, it's just practice. Because fourth quarter, that's when they turn it on. That's when things come alive.
Well, for my next person, for the first 3 quarters of Drew Lock, I think they're on target with KJ Hamler.
Yeah.
So
he's in for a nice play too.
So I think for my wide receiver second pick, sorry, Matt.
No,
KJ Hamler. Last 2 weeks, 10, 15 points each week. He's gotten 80% of the snaps for a guy that hasn't touched the field a lot until recently. That's a lot.
And that's because they haven't trusted him because he had a dropping issue at Penn State and now he's a rookie. So it's his first year and now he's starting to get over that rookie hump right now. And now they're starting to trust him more. Yeah, after the bye weeks. Now he's starting to get him more involved in that offense.
So I think, honestly, Jerry Jeudy or KJ Hamler this week would be a really good start.
Now, stick with that Denver offense. It's very interesting to talk Broncos right now because they don't score until the fourth quarter. When it's garbage time, that's when Drew Lock shines.
That's when Bortles shines, too.
I will say, do you guys remember that play last week where Jerry Jeudy, I think he was running like a 20-yard route. He held his hand up.
Yes.
He knew he was going to score that touchdown. All of a sudden, he threw Oliver, the cornerback from Atlanta, to the side and was like, here, give me the ball, and then ran in for 5 more yards for a touchdown.
Now, that was actually route smarts by Jeudy because that is the thing that receivers do. Like, they'll throw their hand up because that's when, you know, you're running a go route and you're trying to call for your quarterback so you can see your hand. You got him beat. Now, what he did there is he threw it up to make it seem like he was going to continue with that go route. Then he planted the brakes and he got all that separation to get the yardage. That was just a smart route by Jeudy.
And that's just one play of what they believe Jerry Jeudy can be in that offense. He was a first-round pick for a reason, top 20 pick. They believe he can be the number one receiver of the week. Real quick, guys, as we wrap up the show, Matt, who's your second receiver of the week?
I'm going to go Nelson Agholor going against Denver. Now, he has gotten a touchdown in four of his five last games. He has gotten a great chemistry with Derek Carr, and that touchdown streak against Denver's, you know, mediocre defense, I think it's going to continue because we're looking for another potential shootout with Drew Lock.
Yeah, I think there could be a lot of points. And again, when we say shootout, fourth quarter is going to look like a shootout.
Yeah.
Denver's going to be down like 20 or 30 points, and you're like, well, that's probably turning on now because that's when Drew Lock likes to turn things on, play in the fourth quarter. A guy I like this week, I'm going another rookie. I'm going Jalen Reagor, going up against the Giants, ranked 23rd against opposing wide receivers in fantasy. Now, Jalen Reagor's only played in three games this season. He scored a touchdown in his last meeting against the Giants. Six targets, three receptions for 16 yards, and a score. He should have had two touchdowns, but the pass got broken up in the end zone. Now, the Giants have given up 20 or more points to wide receivers in each of their last three games. They are vulnerable back there in that secondary. I think Jalen Reagor, getting healthy, end up coming off a bye week with Carson Wentz starting to get that rhythm. You pick Carson Wentz for a quarterback pick of the week, Jake. I think we can see a lot of points for the Eagles. I think Jalen Reagor might be in store for a big day. Now, as we wrap up our show, Matt, our kicker challenge of the week update. What happened in week nine?
All right, so week nine.
I won.
Yes, Jake won. Suck up got me 4 points, really disappointed. Daniel Carlson, you've been waiting to use him for a long time, got you 7 points. And then Jake, with Chris Boswell, the big winner, 9 points.
Yeah, that really what won you the game was that 60-yard field goal they kicked right before halftime. He missed it, but Dallas had a penalty, so they moved the ball up. They got to redo it. Guess what? Chris Boswell drills it. That's what got you the win.
A win's a win.
So thank you, Cowboys. Anyways,
Two in a row.
Yeah, for my pick of the week here, I'm going Will Lutz. Bringing out one of my big guns here, going up against the San Francisco 49ers. A lot of points in that game. All right, Jake, what about you? Who's your kicker of the week?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tyler Bass. I mean, he might miss one, but at least he'll get a bunch.
Yeah. What about you, Matt?
Well, I'm going to go Cairo Santos, but I got to say, guys, we got to get better. We've gone three straight weeks without one of us getting double-digit points for a kicker.
Yeah, we haven't had a big boom kicker in a while.
2 weeks in a row, I've won. I don't care what you're talking about.
But yeah, let's go Cairo.
All right. Real quick, rapid fire. Predictions for Monday night, Bears and Vikings. Matt, you want to go first?
You know what? Yeah. I see this as a good win for the Bears. I say 27-14 Bears. We always find a way to stifle the Vikings offense.
What about you, Jake?
7-10.
7-10, who wins?
Vikings.
Really? That defensive? Wow.
It's my first time going against the Bears, but it's so disappointing.
I'll tell you what. I am going to go on an odd score here. I'm going to go 23-17 Bears. I think there'll be a lot of field goals in this game. 23-17 Bears. Another ugly game. We'll see if Bill Lazor play calling hopefully gives the Bears offense some sort of life. Dave Montgomery's in concussion protocol and Allen Robinson's banged up, so we'll see what Nick Foles can do.
That does it
for week 10 action here. Football Sunday for Jake Reisinger, Matt Heflin, and myself, Air Jordan Gothy. We'll see you back for next week, week 11. Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio, 1330.